Wynton Marsalis is one of the most respected musicians and composers in the world of jazz and classical music. He's also a cultural icon committed to issues of social, economic and political justice. His latest project, The Ever Funky Lowdown, is an opera, first performed in 2018 and just released in recent days as an epic 2-hour, 53-track album. Marsalis is only one of a handful of artists who has straddled the classical and jazz worlds with equal success in both and garnered equal respect from musicians in both camps as well. Here to talk with me about Marsalis's career in general and the Ever Funky Lowdown in particular is musician Michael Buckley. He is extraordinary in that respect, Michael, really, isn't he? That he has straddled both, if they are separate camps, but he has managed to straddle the jazz and the classical world in a way that very few do.
Yeah, he's the only one really that has done it with you know, his instrument. I mean,
he's a trumpeter. Yeah,
Trumpeter. Yeah. I mean, there is a case to be said. There is people, great jazz musicians out there who can cross over as well. Mm. But he was the kind of first one to do it, and he does it with such confidence and such ease. When he was young, he was about 19 years old, and he left to live in New York to study.
His father, though, was a jazz musician. His father was involved in, yeah.
Yeah, he just passed away in the last few months, Ellis Marsalis. And Wynton talks a lot about growing up with his father.
Where did he grow up?
Sometimes he spent times in New Orleans, and then he moved, as I say, moved very young to New York. The whole family are great musicians.
Yeah.
You know, all the brothers play. Bramford, obviously, is the older brother, I think a year or two older, who's a, like me, saxophonist. So I was very influenced by him also. And his brother, also the trombone player, and Jason, the drummer. So
and Jason, the drummer, is involved in the Ever Funky Lowdown.
He does a lot of stuff with Wynton over the years. Yeah.
So he's very heavily involved in some of the tracks.
Yeah.
There are some of them that are totally percussion driven, actually. Yeah. But just sticking with this idea of the crossover situation, the saxophone is one of the instruments that, you know, we possibly associate it more with jazz music than we do classical music.
Yeah.
But in the case of the trumpet, a much older instrument, an instrument that did have a classical background before it got its jazz background. The saxophone kind of maybe grew out of the jazz world, really, didn't
it?
Yeah,
I mean, funny enough, the trumpet is a very demanding instrument, much more than the saxophone. Some people won't like saying that, but
your saxophone colleagues will be at you for that one.
But technically, your chops wise, your embouchure and how you physically blow the instrument is much tougher, because it's like the saxophone, you could leave for 2 or 3 weeks, come back to it, and you won't know a difference. You know, slightly. But the trumpet is one of them instruments you have to be really regimented and every day working on your embouchure and working on your chops.
The embouchure you're talking about there is that the way your mouth is shaped around the mouthpiece, and the trumpeter will talk about his or her lip.
Yeah.
You know, and the lip and being out of shape or the lip being in shape.
And
literally.
They love to talk about that, believe me. With the trumpet also, it is a thing where Wynton is definitely one of those very gifted, and you know, he was destined to play the trumpet. Like he was, there's only a handful of great musicians like that on the trumpet who are really.
And which was it first? Where did he excel first? Was it in the jazz area, or was it because he went to the Art Blakey Quartet? Was he 14 or 15?
No,
very young.
He was a bit older. He was 19, 18.
Oh, 19. I thought he was a little bit younger.
So
than
he
that,
went. He went to study in Juilliard. So he went to study as. When he went to New York, he was about 18, 19, and he went to study in Juilliard as a classical player and got the gig with Art Blakey and was asked to tour Europe. And he did that for quite a while and then decided to stick with being a jazz musician after that, but still did his classical studies, but went on to be a jazz musician, of course. But the thing you have to remember, at that age, like to be one of Blakey's jazz messengers at that age, you're already set up as a legendary jazz musician. Like anybody that played in that band all are very well known.
What kind of names would jump out? You know, the household names that would come from that Art Blakey stable.
Well, Wayne Shorter, great saxophone players. There was so many great trumpet players, Freddie Hubbard, all them. So there was a huge influence for him on the back of that also. But
so his debut jazz album then, which was Sister Cheryl, did he win the Grammy straight out?
Sister Cheryl was a track from that album. The album was just called Winter Marsalis.
Oh, sorry, yes, yeah, self-titled album.
But I'm not sure if he won a Grammy for that. So I know he's into about 9 Grammys at this stage. Mm. And I know he's the only person to ever win a Grammy in the same year for a jazz album and a classical album.
Yeah.
So I remember this album. I was a bit later now coming to it because I think it came out in 82 or 83. I would say it was about maybe the 90s, you know, 89 when I yeah. had it. I was about 19 then or 18. And yeah, it's a great writing, great. And the band, of course, on that is like Herbie Hancock. You know, it was all his peers at the time. You know, it was an amazing. I think Herbie Hancock produced it too. So they all wanted a bit of Winton at that stage as well, yeah. because they knew. You have to remember, I remember around that time in the early 90s, I remember one week alone on you know, watching TV where he was. One day he was on for being on the front of Time magazine. And then about 2 days later, there was a 60 Minutes Dan Rather's interview with him. So he was everywhere at that time.
Let's have a listen to it. We've talked enough about how he got there. Yeah. But let's have a listen to a little bit of Sister Cheryl then, as you say, from that self-titled debut album. 1982, in fact, was the year. Okay, so there's Wynton Marsalis from his debut self-titled album with a jazz style. Now, almost on the back of that, he produces this classical album, a little bit of Haydn's Trumpet Concerto in E-flat here. And I just wanted to get a little flash of that in to hear the difference there, Michael, the different styles that we're getting from Wynton Marsalis. I mean, it is extraordinary, Michael Buckley, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, talking about styles as well, like when he grew up with his father at a young age, he was listening to so many different and influenced by so many different musicians, friend of his father's. He talks about that a lot, about them all being over the house playing music. So he had this huge body by the time he was 20, 21, of influences. So, you know, he could on a dime change to one style to another. So, you know, he could play very famously later on with the Lincoln Jazz Center, went kind of back in time, did all the Satchmo stuff, did all the Duke Ellington stuff. And he was really started to be a historian about with music. And that's why the styles, and he can really...
And that is what we get in the Ever Funky Lowdown. It really is a 53-track jazz album, I think I said. But really, it's such a mishmash is not fair. It's such a broad range of styles of music that are covered here.
It is. And
styles of playing.
It is. Well, he says himself with this album, he didn't do a lot of research for it. And which is interesting because he said...
Had it all done.
Well, no, he said most albums, most projects, he'll do an awful lot of you know, looking into it and he'll delve very deeply into it. But he said this one he didn't, because it's all part of his growing up. All the Afro-American music, all the, you know, the church music that's in it. There's hints of classical music in it as well. He talks... about all them influences, and he brings all to this album.
Yeah, and there's a track or a motif, I suppose, called the Ever Funky Lowdown that appears about 6 or 7 times, I think, throughout in different ways and in different styles. Well, here's the Ever Funky Lowdown in 4, and I think you get a sense of the church music here, you get a sense of the soul music here, you get a sense of the funky side of things as well.
Low down,
Absolutely super stuff in terms of, you know, the clashes of styles that we're hearing there. The Ever Funky Lowdown in 4, and that's from an opera, first performed in 2018, composition by Wynton Marsalis, and now being released as a 2-hour, 53-track album. And musician Michael Buckley speaking to me about it, and indeed Wynton Marsalis this evening here in Arena. That gives us a sense of the musical side of things. But what's really important here, I mentioned that he has always been committed on issues of social, economic and political justice. That's at the heart of what is the story he's telling, or maybe the polemic he's giving us in this opera, Michael.
Yes. I mean, he talks a lot. I mean, there's so much to this album. There really is. It's incredible. It's not one that you would have in the car. It's definitely a sit down and, you know, really analyze it. It's incredible. But he basically, what is it? He's looking at corporate society, corporate world, to greed, and he has a character that narrates through this,
Mr. Game,
and basically he's like a soothsayer, or, you know, he's a hustler. So that's the way they look at it. So, you know, even the name, the Funky Lowdown, and it's not it's
F-O-N-K-Y.
Yeah, so it means there's something rotten. There's two meanings. There's something rotten to it. That's what he's trying to get across, what Wynton talks about it. And there's also funky, as in 70s music too.
Yeah.
And the lowdown is the greed, corruption, but also I'll give you the lowdown.
I'm exposing this.
He's exposing this.
Wendell Pierce is the narrator, is the Mr. Game character throughout the thing, who basically leads us through it. He is like a narrator. He's like a Brechtian narrator in some ways, in that he steps out and says, here's what this is about. And then he kind of goes back into the piece and becomes part of it again.
Yeah. And it's, you know, basically, if you look at it, I know we don't have too much time to talk about, but Wynton talks to, it's like, you know, we've got two sides, and that's basically what it boils down to. So he's got, you say we take the Democrat and we've got the Republican. Wynton talks about this himself. He says, you know, you're creating a problem with each, you know, with each side. There has to be that problem to divide.
He's not necessarily coming down hard on one side or the other. He's saying that we need this division, this division is there in society. Let's have a listen to one of the narration parts, explains that quite well. This is a section called Talk is a Waste of Time. Wendell Pierce, the narrator here, or Wendell Pierce as Mr. Game.
I'm a preacher and a teacher, a soul reacher and a defense breacher, as I fear there are about to be more of them than us. They're like rabbits. Are we going to let them sit there breeding away our freedom? We are winners. We can't have them competing with us, because competition is an act of aggression. Some have suggested talking to them, but talk is a waste of time, and we don't have time. Every second wasted is a second given to them. Believe me, oh, glorious people, I think I heard that they've been committing nefarious crimes, and they don't believe in God. We must hold them accountable. Let me take care of this. Please, folks, don't take our freedoms for granted. Thank you for your trust, and you're doing quite well.
Wendell Pierce there. I suppose people will remember Wendell Pierce as Detective Bunk, in particular, Bunk Moreland, rather, in the TV show The Wire. That's what they'll know him that for. And you were saying, as we were listening to that, Michael Buckley, that Wynton Marsalis is very clear that this is a white man talking to white people.
To white people, yeah. And even when he mentions, when he talks about slavery in it, and he's not saying who that is. He's not saying, you know, but he is a white man talking to white people.
Yeah, yeah, there's quite definitely, there's a section where they give us a kind of a history of slavery, and it's almost portrayed as, well, these people needed this to be done for them. Slavery was a way to freedom, whatever way you can that up in your head.
He's not saying who it is at any point.
What do you think about the timing of the release of this? Obviously, the opera was first performed in 2018, so that's kind of the midterms, if you like, after the election of Donald Trump in 2016. But here we are in the teeth of an election campaign, first debate last night. I presume that's not accidental. How political an animal are we talking about in the case of Marsalis?
I think he's getting more, as I've watched him even over the last week, and, you know, he seems to be getting more politically driven. There's a very good, he was chatting to Bill Maher, and you can definitely see he's getting more driven, politically driven at the moment.
And while he's saying there's a them and us scenario, are his politics easy to guess?
It's more liberal. He's trying to get across the notion in this that we have to, like his music, it's a conversation. And he's basically saying, there's got to be a conversation. People got to open their eyes, look around, and there's got to be a conversation on both sides. But look at last night. There's not going to be much conversation.
There wasn't a lot of talking to each other, lots of talking at each other and over each other. Let's have a listen to another track from the opera for the album then, The Ever Funky Lowdown that we're speaking about. This is called Night Trader, and I think we get his ideas on capitalism are pretty clear in this track.
Put them in jail, but they commit the crime. I'll put them away for a long, long time. I'm a night trader, baby. I'm a night trader. Sleight of hand by trade.
I'm a night trader. I'm a night trader. I'm a night trader. I'm a night trader. I'm a night trader.
There, a little section from Night Trader from the opera and album that we're speaking about this evening, The Ever Funky Lowdown, the composition from Wynton Marsalis and saxophonist Michael Buckley speaking to me about it this evening. Is this kind of Wynton Marsalis at the top end of what he can do in terms of bringing all his musical experience and styles together, do you think, Michael?
I think, like, these are definitely very clear. These are musically styles from his youth and growing up. Some would argue with Wynton that he never took things forward enough. He stopped around the 70s with music, as in once he got into Ornette Coleman, beyond when avant-garde music kicked in.
There is that sense that he's looking back to funky, that he's looking to funk music, that he's looking back
Ellington,
to soul.
Ellington, soul, swing, like
first half of the 20th century, even in his classical taste, obviously Haydn isn't. But
he came out very strongly about rap music. So
against it.
Yeah, against it. More the message. It wasn't to do with the music. It was the message. As he said, in the 70s, he was playing, growing up, he was playing like he was playing in bands that were not, played Earth, Wind and Fire music. And he said 5 years, 6 years after that, rap music was very prominent. And the message was, he just didn't believe in the message. Cops and,
Bigger discussion that bigger one, discussion, but certainly Michael Buckley there is talking to us about the legend that is Wynton Marsalis and that new album, The Ever Funky Lowdown, jazz operatic comment upon our relationship with global power elites. That's what we're told it is. It is out now.